The Time Traveling Robots in Space is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
The Time Traveling Robots in Space podcast starts now.
It is Wednesday, August 1st, 2012, and welcome to another Galactic Netcast. This is Time Traveling Robots in Space number 41 from Glendale, California. It's Mr. Paul Swickard. How are you, Paul?
I am doing rather well, Mr. David. It is, you know, it's a new day. It's a full day, nice summer day.
You're so glass half full, man. I'm pleasantly surprised by your attitude.
Oh, all right. Well, let me bring it down a peg. Glendale has the third accident rating in the country, and this is on a per capita basis, of course, but only behind Washington, D.C. and Baltimore.
Just chew on that. Are you doing research for this little segment that we started last week? Are you doing research now?
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right.
This is car accidents I'm talking about, people.
Okay. Anyway, no, like bathroom accidents, nothing like that?
I don't think they keep data on that.
Okay, good. All right, from Denton, Texas, it's Anessa Moines. How are you, Anessa?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. Can you top what Paul just laid on us?
Denton has a cute cat, apparently.
Yeah, I found that story today on BuzzFeed about this veterinary business that has one of their patients that comes in regularly is this really cute cat, and they posted a picture of it, and they look forward to the visit. Whoa, what was that?
I have no idea.
That was weird. Apparently, okay. Just to clarify, to let you guys know, to let the audio people know, we're actually doing this on Google Plus Hangouts for the first time. And apparently, wow. Hangouts didn't know I was there. And it was wondering, where are you? Are you still there? So.
All right.
So this is Time Traveling Robots in Space number 41. And this is the show where we discuss news and other things relating to time travel robots in space. In science and sci-fi, we accomplish this by running down two stories from each topic, a discussion on our entertainment picks, and of course, ask the question of the week. And don't forget, guys, to prepare for the final thought. I'm letting you know right now to start thinking about your final thought for the very end of the show. Okay?
It's in the brain. I will churn it.
All right. Good. For our audio subscribers, if you'd like to see us do this show live, record it live, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+, and we will let you know when and where that's going to be. Before we get underway, we'd like to thank Robin for sponsoring the show today. Robin invites everyone to discover the splendor and beauty of central Iowa. From Fort Dodge to Des Moines and Marshalltown to Cedar Falls, it's all here, ready for you to explore Central Iowa. And you can purchase a live read from us for only $10. Go to galacticnetcasts.com/advertise. Fill out a short form, submit your payment through PayPal, and we'll read your message in an upcoming Galactic Netcast, either this show, Time Traveling Robots in Space, or Alien Invasion. And Paul is wearing a funny hat. You're wearing a pirate hat. That's awesome.
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. Please go on.
No, since you're wearing a pirate hat, you have to say something piratey. Piratey.
R. That's piratey, isn't it?
That's all you got is R?
Shiver me timbers. You're putting me on the spot here, man.
All right.
No, sorry.
Well, you know, if you're going to put on the hat, you have to be prepared to be a pirate.
No, you're right, and I'm a little disappointed with these effects because I was looking for something, you know, science fiction-y, and I came up short, so pirate is the closest thing I got.
All right, good enough. All right, let's get the show on the road here.
Sector 1, time travel.
All right, so Anessa, I'm going to ask you to read the the preface to this story. What do you call that when you read something before something? There's a word for that, right?
An intro?
No, not an intro.
Context?
Not context. A warning, like a warning label. What is that called? There's a word for it. Come on, guys.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay, man. You cannot get irritated with us just because you can't figure out what it is that you are trying to say.
Okay. Anessa, just read the first line, and then I'll pick it up after you're done.
All right. Our first story falls into the category of not being about actual time travel itself, but still kind of about it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now, I have a question for you guys. Have you ever wondered what it was like to be a chef in 1416 AD? Has that ever crossed your mind?
Only every day.
Every day. How about cook in a medieval castle for kings and queens during the Tudor era? Have you thought about that?
Totally.
Story of my life.
Well, fasten your seatbelts, my friends, and prepare for a journey through time when time machine chefs blast off Thursday, August 16th, at 8 p.m. Central Time on ABC. This has got to be either the coolest thing ever or the lamest thing ever. I'm still trying to figure that out.
It's amazing how that's just kind of, it's such a fine line, ladies and gentlemen.
It is. What do you think about this, Anessa? Is this something that you'd be into?
Actually, I would want to check it out. It's not like your usual Hell's Kitchen scenario, I don't think. So I'd imagine there's a lot of having to adjust with cooking with actual fire and stoves and waiting for things to like heat up. You can't just turn the knob and all of a sudden there's flame and off you go. So
yeah, it's funny that you would say that because with no modern appliances, amenities, running water or electricity, and hopefully no foodborne illnesses either, four popular chefs must create culinary masterpieces and impress three esteemed judges with only basic kitchen equipment, their imaginations, and craftsmanship. Only one chef will be in the show notes, and we'll also have it in the video description on our YouTube channel. So I have a thought here. So if the show actually had contestants go back in time and compete, if they actually all got into a time machine and had to go back to, like, say, 1416 and do this show, what do you think the consequences would be of them losing?
Well, they'd be burned at the stake for witchcraft, wouldn't they?
Nice. Because they came from the future, is that why?
Because they came from the future. They appeared out of nowhere, so they'd toss them in the river to see if they'd float. I don't know.
That's a good point.
So I'm not sure that I'd actually want to go back in time to 1416 to cook. I just...
There's a wide margin for error there, isn't there?
There really is.
So are we talking margin of error like, you know, queendom versus burned at the stake, or like in what sense?
Well, you could either win big time and become the hero of the kingdom and get all these jewels and a crown and, you know, become royalty, or you get tossed into the dungeon or put on the rack.
We'll see. Wonderful imagery, Dave. I don't know. I always kind of found that to be the case just with kings and monarchies in general. I always thought that punishments, I remember thinking this as a child, their punishments seemed quite extreme. Like, it's either you're going to get everything in the world or I'm going to kill you. There's no like real middle ground for some reason.
No, they don't dilly-dally, do they?
No.
They don't pussyfoot around, do they?
They do not.
Another thought I had about this is maybe the contestants should also take a crack at creating what food might be like in the future. Know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, since it's time machine chefs or whatever, time machine chefs, yeah. Isn't a time machine supposed to go both ways? So they go into the future and create some future food. And what do you think that future food would be?
Twinkies.
So we're living in the future. So there's nothing else? Twinkie is the limit?
There's nothing else.
Well,
it's all about the Twinkie.
Well, maybe it's a post-apocalyptic future, and that's going to be the only thing left after the atomic fallout.
the Twinkie survives.
They did that in Zombieland.
They did. No, I'm thinking if it's something along the lines of a post-apocalyptic future, then it's going to go back to basically what we did in 1416.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah, good point.
It's a good point. Yep.
All right.
I do know that once, just to take this in a little bit different turn, I do know that when immigration goes down, that is, you have less immigrants, the quality of food also goes down. Just a thought.
All right.
That's a very interesting thought.
That's all I got. That's all I got. No more thoughts on that.
That's fine. I was just, nice little tidbit for you there, folks. Chew on that and send your emails. GalacticNetcast@gmail.com.
Haha, you said chew on that, like food.
Yeah.
All right, so that's it. Again, Time Machine Chefs blasts off on ABC August 16th, 8 p.m. Central Time. All right, let's move on to Paul. In time travel, what do you got?
Yes, sir. And, this story may seem, cool, as it has to do with film and entertainment and time travel. And it's really just as kitschy as Dave's story. Variety reports that the Bourne Identity Helmer, how does one... Okay, whatever.
I hate that. I hate that term, Helmer.
Can you tell I didn't write this? Anyway, thanks, Variety. Variety reports that Doug Liman, who is the director behind The Bourne Identity, is trying to do a time travel love story called Time and Again. So, yeah. This is a thing now. I think this is officially a trope. This whole time travel, marrying this whole time travel and love story thing. They've done it a lot now. It seems to be coming around quite a bit.
Well, they're filming one now in England, I think. Great Britain. I think they're filming a time travel romantic comedy type of movie.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But apparently this was based on a Jack Finney novel. I don't know. Does that name mean anything to anybody?
No, not to me.
I guess they tried to get this story, or rather get this project off the ground with Robert Redford in the mid-90s, and it never went anywhere. So I guess this guy, Mr. Doug Liman, is trying to reboot it, as it were, or try to get it actually working. But he's trying to get, at least according to this, he's trying to get Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah. First of all, what's the age discrepancy there? Just a thought.
Well, Tom Cruise doesn't age because he's being injected in with secret chemicals from Scientology, the secret Scientology sauce.
Or he's the only one of us who's right about the meaning of life. There's that.
That could be too.
Or not at all.
These are all very legitimate possibilities, Paul.
No, they're not. You know what? No, screw that. They are not legitimate possibilities. I will not give them. I'm not going to give equal credit. Okay, there is such a thing. Oh, man, you're going to get me on a rant here. There is such a thing as a bias towards fairness. I'm not going to give every party equal time just because I'm trying to be fair. Not everybody deserves equal time. End of story. Anyway, I'm done.
So is that it? Do you have anything more on this story?
No, not really. It sounds like the casting picks are speculative at this point, but Rachel McAdams has been down this role before. So yeah, there's that. You look confused, Dave.
I'm trying to pick up in the story. So she's in this one, or is that a callback to a different movie?
No, that is a callback to a different movie. Okay. She was in that. The name escapes me, but
Time Traveler's Wife, right?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Time Traveler's Wife.
And going back to a story that we had a few episodes ago, I think she's in another time travel movie, romantic comedy.
Is she?
Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. So maybe that's her thing.
Oh, man. Does anybody I bring this story up really just to kind of discuss the whole sort of subgenre or trope that this has become. Like, what's going on here? Maybe I just don't understand. I'm not smart enough to figure out what the hell's going on here. But why all of a sudden are we doing time travel and love stories? Like, are people that sort of desperate to find love that they have to go outside of their own time period? Like, not time zone, time era to try and find love. Is that how this works?
Why is 50 Shades of Grey so popular? Or every single book that's similar to 50 Shades of Grey?
What's 50 Shades of Grey, David?
You don't know what 50 Shades of Grey is, Paul?
He wants to hear you talk about it.
I want you to describe it and put your foot in your mouth and just go down a deep, dark hole. That's what I want.
That is not going to happen, my friend. I'm sorry to disappoint you.
Oh, I tried. Sorry, folks. We'll try again next week.
Good effort, Paul.
That's going to be the new thing on this show. Let's get Dave to read some 50 Shades of Grey on the podcast. That would be awesome.
You should do that.
Excerpt. Yes.
No.
So.
You, sir, brought up an excellent point. And do you know how our listenership would go up tenfold? I'm just saying.
And our demographic would totally change. Because, you know, we got a bunch of dudes listening to us now. And, you know.
I'm waiting to hear a problem.
Yeah, we get a lot of women. I would like that different. Maybe I will do this. Maybe I will read a little 50 Shades of Grey.
It doesn't have to be big. Just, you know, a sentence or two here or there.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple lines.
As long as it's, you know, PG, PG-13, then
That part I cannot promise.
Yeah.
And neither should you.
All right. So, time and again. Oh, another
time
thing.
Time and again.
Another thing, another issue I have. It's putting time into the damn title of the movie. In a
you have a problem with that?
Cute, funny way. I hate that.
I'm sorry. No, they're trying to be punny, and it just comes off as lazy.
It is lazy. It's laziness, definitely.
I wonder what the original. You know what? I should have looked that up. I wonder if the. Yeah, the original novel is called that, so blame Jack Finney.
Okay. All right. Jack, you're non-original, and I don't like you. So there.
Very high rated on Amazon, though. I don't know why.
Well, it's the ladies. Anessa, right? It's the ladies.
I don't read books like that.
No, Anessa, you don't back away from this. You represent all of womandom, like right now here.
You have to
I am a poor representative.
You have to be the sole voice, Anessa. If you're going to be on this podcast, you got to be the sole voice of all womanship, womankind, or whatever.
All right. Well, then we totally love that sort of thing. Why not? Who doesn't?
All right.
That was so convincing. All right. Yeah, we're good.
Anything more to be said about this?
No, that about surmises it, and I got what I wanted out of that, so we're good.
All right. Awesome. Let's move on to robots. Before we do, though, we would love your feedback. Either email us, galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. We have a voicemail number, and that is the following, 805-328-3966. Or leave a comment either in the video on our YouTube channel or the comment on the video that's in Google Plus, and we will respond to it. And we thrive on feedback. Hearing from you makes us a better podcast and a better network of podcasts and stuff. So
it's true. And if you want to, you know, ask Anessa a direct question, you know, about like all of women, then feel free to do that.
Yes.
Or me. Them. I have nothing better.
What do women want, Anessa? Answer now.
I'll have to think about that one.
10 words or less. Go.
A puppy.
Okay. There you go.
I can handle that. I could buy a puppy. That'd be no problem.
I want a puppy. I like puppies. They're cute.
All right. Let's move on. Hey, we have a sound thingy for this. Give me a second here. Here it is.
Set two.
All right, Paul, you're going to love this story here. A Japanese electronics company has unveiled a 13-foot-tall, 4-ton super robot.
Super robot?
Yeah.
You had me at Japanese electronic company. Okay. I'm sorry. We have a super robot?
This is a super robot.
What defines a super robot? Describe the super robot,
Dave. It's 13 feet tall. and 4 tons. That's a start.
That's a super robot.
Yes. Caratus is fitted. Okay, there's more. There's more that makes it a super robot. Caratus is its name, and it's fitted with futuristic weapons, including a Gatling gun capable capable of shooting 6,000 BB bullets in a minute.
Okay.
Which fires, the gun fires when the pilot smiles. So the person in the cockpit of the super robot, it's not like a autonomous robot. Somebody actually has to run it. But the pilot, when it smiles, it shoots the gun. How creepy and weird is that?
So wait a second. Wait.
This is a thing.
Okay, so it's a mech?
Yeah, it's a
mech. Is that what I'm...
Yeah.
Holy crap.
I know.
Dude, this thing looks like... Okay, weren't they classifying this as art? I think they were.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, but they're selling it.
Dude, you look at this thing, it looks like it's ready to take down the city.
I know.
Like seriously, it looks like it's ready for war. Like, I'm not kidding. Look at the Gatling gun on that thing. Like, that looks like good. Like, if you put a real weapon on there, holy crap.
Yeah, it only shoots BB gun or BB bullets for obvious reasons, because they're not making a weapon for war here. This is just for fun use.
Dude, I don't know, man. Even with BB guns, you could hurt some folks.
Yeah.
6,000 rounds a minute.
Yeah, that's a lot. That is a lot.
He'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can either get inside the cockpit and control it from there, or it can also be controlled from the outside using any smartphone connected to a data network, which is pretty awesome. The only weird thing about this is it's not a mech that walks around. It actually drives. So you can,
right, it rolls.
Yeah, it's got wheels. The four-wheeled legs ensures that it's easy to transport, and the pilot will be able to drive it at a top speed of 6.5 miles an hour. So it's not getting anywhere that fast, but it could mess you up if it wanted to. Who cares if it's slow? It can mess you up.
Hold up. You can access this thing wirelessly?
Yes.
Oh, dude.
it gets better and better, doesn't it?
Dude, that's... folks, wireless networks are not that secure. Just a thought on that one, on that particular piece of the puzzle. Not that I want to give, you know, any hackers any ideas, but yeah, there you go.
I could totally see this as the next RoboCop movie after the one that's coming out this fall or next year. This could be the sequel, is this robot, somebody getting a hold of a smartphone and totally hacking this thing, and it's running rampant in a big metropolitan area.
Oh, you need kill switches on these things. That doesn't solve my problem, but you'd really need, like, you need a panic button just to make sure that these things don't, like, develop consciousness or get controlled of by, like, a third party. Like, that's actually a lot of, like, you've heard of the, I believe you had a story about it, Dave, not too long ago, about the sequel to the Modern Warfare, the Black Ops.
Yeah.
It's based on that premise, is that terrorists or whoever get control of all these drones and turn it on everybody else.
Wow. You know, I could see that scenario actually playing out someday.
Right. You know? They apparently consulted like real ex-military guys, like generals, to discuss like what the major concerns are of the future. And I guess that's a big one.
Wow. Our future is coming true, man. If you have $1.4 million, you can get this thing. And the video, you can't miss the video. So we're going to post it in the video description on our YouTube channel, and we'll have it with the show notes too, with the podcast. You got to watch the video because the video is awesome.
Indeed.
All right. So there we go. That's my robot entry, Paul. Beat that.
Sir.
Top that.
I will try and beat it, actually. I don't know if you noticed, but I posted that story right below the first story, and I was going to have you pick which story I was going to read. I was going to only read the description.
Oh.
And say, hey, which is worse, the Mech Warrior or the creepy baby.
Oh, I didn't know that you had that story. I wasn't looking at your stuff. I wasn't cheating. No, I wasn't looking ahead.
Sorry. It's totally fine. But I am more than thrilled to discuss this, you know, creepy robot of the week. This is less of a joke, and now it's a reality. Like, we will inevitably have a very realistic-looking robot that will give you pretty much a guarantee that you do not get sleep tonight. They're calling it Baby Affetto. That's A-F-F-E-T-T-O. And it is a robot baby. It's a robot baby. It behaves like a baby. It acts like a baby. And it looks creepy.
Yeah, that face is the creepiest ever. That is a face of nightmares. Don't watch the video or look at the picture before going to bed, because you're not going to be able to sleep. I promise you that.
It stares at you with those blank eyes, and you're just like, there's nothing there. There's no soul behind the mask, behind the veneer of this thing. And I don't know. I don't know why they're doing this. I wish I understood. Like, they're essentially making a fully functioning android that behaves like a kid. I think what they're trying to do is kind of go, you know, iteratively and to like developing proper AI, because if you have, you know, a baby, in theory, it would be less difficult to program than a human, you know, a fully grown human. But this thing, what's probably even creepier is the fact that this thing actually, you should see it without its skin on. You figured that one out. And yeah, it moves around like a kid. Ugh. I'm looking at it now.
So who built it? Why? Who built this thing?
I was trying to... Who did this? They didn't freaking say. The article that... Who failed this? Mobile Mag. You failed, Mobile Mag. Here, let me get some...
Yeah.
Folks, this is hard-hitting reporting. I understand this.
We need some premise here. We need some background information. Why? Why are they doing this?
Why not?
That's a very good point, Anessa. Why not? You know?
Oh, goodness. Interesting development. This project is being funded through 2016. So someone, let's consider, folks, someone saw this and said, yes, I will give you freaking money for the next 4 years.
Wow.
Ugh.
So not only is it going to be a robo-apocalypse, but it's going to be a bunch of creepy robot babies running around biting at our ankles. They're like,
oh my gosh, that's horrid. That's a horrifying image. Thanks, Dave. Professor Minoru Asada, one of the world's leaders in the field of cognitive developmental robotics. Apparently, that's a thing. Yeah, so it's trying to get, essentially, I think his goal from the gleaning of this is that, yeah, they're trying to mimic what is inside a child's head. And by the way, affetto is Italian for affection. Just throwing that out there as well.
It's cute and cuddly.
No. It looks like, you know what? Okay, here it is. Here it is, folks. This looks like the son of Chucky. That's what it looks like. It looks like it's ready to like take up the father's mantle and stab you in the face.
I can guarantee you that any parent out there that watches this video or looks at the pictures of this baby will not buy a toy baby for their kid.
I agree. Dude.
That would creep me.
This would freak out a dog. I'm not kidding. Like, this dog, the dog would have a panic attack.
All right, I think this picture is going to be the cover picture for the podcast episode this week. It's got to be.
Look at the videos, folks. Yeah. And, you know, join our misery. And yeah, this is all to help cognitive developmental robotics. That is what this is here for. So, you know, good job, Japan.
So it's basically, this is just another way of improving AI and improving the technology behind robots.
Okay. And this is from Osaka University, since we were asking about that earlier. Osaka University.
All right, before we move on, there's a comment on the YouTube channel page. Anessa, username, I hate usernames. They're always so weird. Anyways, one of the commenters says, "It's a trap. Anessa, don't do it." And I'm guessing this person is referring to being the spokesperson of all womankind, right?
Of all womankind. I'm guessing so.
Yeah.
So I'd like to go back to just being one of the guys now. Thanks.
All right. That's fine. We'll let you off the hook this time. All right. The Time Traveling Robots in Space is brought to you by Audible.com for you, the Galactic Netcast listener or the Google Hangout viewer. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. To go along with the theme of this podcast and something that we talked about on the last episode, may we suggest Blake's Seven, The Radio Adventures. So for you guys, Paul and Anessa, who haven't seen any of the original episodes of Blake 7 before they remake it here soon, you can listen to The Radio Adventures on Audible.com. The audio collection features two thrilling full cast BBC Radio 4 adventures. So it's the full cast from the original series based on the classic TV science fiction series out of Britain, in which a band of rebels fight the Anessa, how do you pronounce it?
Despotic?
Despotic. Is that like...
Despot.
Oh, despot. Okay, I got it. All right. Fight the Despotic Federation. Blake 7, The Radio Adventures, features the stories The Sevenfold Crown and Sindenton Experiment. Is that right?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Plus additional bonus materials, including cast interviews. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Again, that's audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. And we thank Audible for their support of the Time Traveling Robots in Space.
Space.
All right. This is a really science-heavy show, which I like. Sometimes you need a little reality in your life, right?
Definitely.
No. Just pure fantasy.
Paul disagrees.
Paul wants to live in a fantasy world. Sounds like.
Dude, you have no idea. Are you kidding? Who wouldn't? Who would not want to live in a fantasy? Okay, don't get me started. Yes, Dave. I hear you're going to talk about space.
Okay. Yes. This is a huge thing. As NASA prepares for Sunday's Curiosity rover landing on Mars, Star Trek actors William Shatner, a.k.a. Captain James T. Kirk, and Will Wheaton, a.k.a. Wesley Crusher, both narrate a video about the mission titled Grand Entrance, which guides viewers from entry through descent and after landing. The video's goal is to educate the public about Curiosity and build awareness about the landing at 12:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time, August 6th. And by the way, for you Twit watchers, the Twit Network, twit.tv, Tom Merritt's going to do a live event on the Twit Network right before and after and during the landing. So that's kind of cool. Shatner and Wheaton each provide their own unique narration of the video. NASA's multimedia liaison for film and TV collaborations, Bert Ulrich, says, NASA is thrilled to have them explain a difficult landing sequence in accessible terms that can be understood by many. Thanks to their generous support, Mars exploration will reach tweeters, Trekkies, and beyond. All right. Typical, like, agency speak right there. Curiosity has 7 minutes to go from 13,000 miles per hour to a soft landing. If a single step is unsuccessful, the mission could fail. This process has been dubbed the 7 minutes of terror. So check out more on this story via the link that we'll post on the show notes and in the video description on our YouTube channel. So you guys excited for the landing and excited to watch this video?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm excited. Yeah, definitely.
We got, let's see, Shatner and Wheaton to provide their own unique narration. Huh. I'm really curious. Will Wheaton, he's an entertaining guy. Like, he does a lot of, you know, independent stuff. He does his own thing. I'm really curious to see what version of Shatner we're going to get on this particular NASA thing.
Well, I think they're both the same video, but with each doing their own version of it, I think. I haven't watched the videos, so I don't know.
Wouldn't that
sure.
be great if they were like together and they bounced their own their own commentary off each other?
That would be great.
Well, it's funny because on the video with Wheaton narrating it, there's nothing but NASA footage. But with Shatner, he's actually in the video. They show his face. Typical, nice. Typical Shatner. It's all about me. It's all about Captain Kirk.
That's awesome.
So you guys want to lay odds as to if this mission's going to be successful or not? You want to do some betting before Sunday?
Okay, define successful.
I'm looking forward to a soft landing, because if it's a hard landing, then we're pretty much screwed, because that just is code for crash.
Yeah, it is code for crash. Or they could completely lose it. Like NASA has lost some missions completely. They have no idea where it went, you know?
Right.
They're like, it's definitely somewhere in the North Atlantic.
Exactly.
It's not on Earth. By process of elimination, it must still be in space.
It's in the solar system someplace. Yeah. All right, so there you go. Curiosity, landing on Mars, hopefully. Sunday morning? Is that right? August 6th? Today's the 1st.
That's Monday.
Monday.
That is Monday.
Okay.
Monday morning. Late Sunday night, early Sunday morning.
All right.
Or whatever, other way around.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right.
Late Understood. Monday night, early Monday morning.
All right, moving on from the rover to splice. Space planes, Paul. What do you got?
I know. We got space planes.
Yay.
And this is a space plane that is not being developed locally. This is in the UK, sir. The UK. They're making their own sort of version of the space plane. And get this, it's called a Skylon. A Skylon, Dave. What does that sound like?
Skylon.
That's just okay. You know what? Let's just talk about this the whole time. You are dooming your project if your preface is that it's called a Skylon.
Does it have a plan?
Nothing good. Nothing good can come from this. You might as well call it like Skylet or
humanity is doomed. I'm telling you right now, these Holy planes, crap. There's going to be some crazy advanced AI in these planes, and they're going to take over. They're going to become self-aware and take over the world.
Yeah. Anyway, no, in all seriousness, this is being developed by an aerospace company called Reaction Engines. And they are going from the initial planning stages to actually trying to build the thing. So that's kind of their deal at this point. And given what they're kind of discussing here, it almost sounds like a scramjet, meaning that a jet that only will like kind of fire up after you're going at a certain pace, like after you're going at a certain speed, and it takes in a lot of the oxygen surrounding it in order to, you know, both fuel and cool it. So yeah, if you look at the like sort of the concept art in this thing, it looks like more like a rocket than it does a plane. It looks like basically like a rocket with wings.
Do you know how it gets up into the atmosphere? Does it launch or take off on a runway?
They have not mentioned that. I do not believe.
Huh. Interesting. So, there's no windows. That kind of
sucks.
Oh,
excuse me. It is. I apologize. It is a reusable vehicle designed to take off from an airstrip and deliver cargo, or what cargo meaning either, you know, inanimate stuff or people.
Okay. So this can be put into space to like launch a satellite, or, you know, resupply the International Space Station, or be used as a jet airliner to get from like London to Tokyo in like an hour, right?
That's what it's supposed to do. So yeah, the Yeah, the next phase, in quotes, is referring to involving the, it's called, the engine that they're building is called the Saber engine. They're actually going to try and build the thing and fly it. So yeah, it's being helped by the University of Bristol, and it's cool. I don't know exactly what this means, but its results are now being independently verified by the ESA. Now, remind us, for less educated people, what is the ESA? Does anybody know?
European Space Agency, right?
Yep.
Is that what that is?
It is.
Don't see us crazy colonials. We don't care about that, or maybe I just don't care. I don't know what.
You're too far out. You're in La La Land, Paul.
No, you're absolutely right. It is the European Space Agency,
or it could be the Ecological Society of America.
I don't think it's that.
Hey, let's look up all the variations of ESA.
That'll ESA, make, ladies and gentlemen.
That'll make exciting content.
So, yeah, there you go. We're going to have another space plane very, very soon, it sounds like.
The Entertainment Software Association.
I thought of that. It's amazing. It's so real.
The Eastern Surfing Association.
Totally.
And we lost Dave.
There's a lot of them. I didn't think there were this many. Epsilon Sigma Alpha.
No.
So yeah, Skylon plane, Saber jet, engine.
The Skylon plane, nicknamed the Toaster.
Frack yeah.
It kind of looks like, well, it has the chrome of a toaster, I should say.
Yeah. All right. I welcome our future in space with Skylons. This is cool. No, this is awesome. I'm being a bad co-host. Did you say something about what the timeline for this is? Is there a timeline?
They have not mentioned that part.
Okay.
I was looking, but I'm sure it exists somewhere. Like, obviously, they have a timeline for this thing. They essentially... See, it's hard to tell. I don't know. At this point, I don't know. If they're this... like, it's still on very early on in the process, so they may get halfway through building this thing and realize it's impossible.
All right. Well, I wish them luck. My fingers are crossed. All right, so where are we off to now? I have no idea.
We're supposed to do our picks, sir.
Oh, yeah. Before our picks, though, don't forget you can listen to this show, The Time Traveling Robots in Space, and The Alien Invasion, all the Galactic Netcasts, on Stitcher Smart Radio. If you have an iPhone, an Android phone, BlackBerry, I don't know if many... Well, Anessa's got a BlackBerry, so never mind. Android tablets and the Nook... Stitcher.
Go ahead, talk crap.
I don't think that you'll have that BlackBerry for very much longer. How
At
old?
The rate it's going now.
How old is that thing?
I've had it for almost 3 years now, but it's an older model anyway, so who knows?
Dude, your contract is up after 2 years. You could have got a new phone last year.
I actually renewed my contract. So
what do you? You didn't get a new phone?
I didn't get a new phone. They want to change my plan. By $40 a month. I don't want to dish out another 40 Sprint.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
The plan that I have is a family plan, and it's an old family plan at that.
Oh, okay.
And so if I change my phone, it changes my plan automatically.
Okay.
So.
All right. Anyway.
Such is life.
Reasonable excuse.
It doesn't matter. As long as your device is capable of having an app, Stitcher, you can get a Stitcher app, okay? Just go to Stitcher.com/GalacticNetcasts. Enter the promo code GalacticNetcasts. If you haven't checked out their new feature, they have Smart Stations, which helps you discover new content based on the stuff that you're already listening to. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. And by the way, Mike McCormick in the comments on our YouTube channel says, "It's not a trap, Anessa. Do it. You are a woman. Let us hear you roar." Do you want to roar for us?
Roar!
If you want to add a Google effect, you can add a little tiara on your head, and that will, increase your I guess.
No, she's a powerful woman, not a princess, Paul. What are you doing?
I'm a pretty, pretty princess.
Or like hearts.
I can make my own hearts.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
I like the DIY heart better. All right, moving on to picks. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
All right, Paul.
My pick of the week is a television show named Robot Chicken. Now, yeah, I know. I can't believe it took me this long to actually not recommend it. I think I've recommended the Star Wars version of it.
Yeah, you did.
But I don't think I recommended the actual show. And I should, because it has the freaking title. It was Robot Chicken.
I've always been confused, though. Is there an actual robot in the show?
Yes.
There are many, many robots in that show.
Oh, okay.
Okay. First of all, okay. Yeah, obviously, the fact that you have to ask that question means you're confused as to the format of this particular show. There is no continuity. There's nothing really anything other than a strict parody of pretty much any popular culture thing that you might think of. So it's literally just joking around about all of the pretty much anything. It could be science fiction related, could not be. So Star Wars, Star Trek, and the whole thing is just one big joke. And they use it's stop motion, and they use clay guys to animate the show. That's what they do. So, you know, they've done all kinds of stuff. They've done Transformers. They've done G.I. Joe. They've done, the movie The 300. Like, all of these little short, very short clips. And that's the form. That's your show. That is what they do.
You know, it's a crying shame that I haven't seen any Robot Chicken. I mean, normally I'm not an animation or a stop motion kind of person. But this kind of appeals to me. The whole, taking a serious subject like 300 and making it silly,
It's pretty silly.
Yeah.
That is one thing that it definitely is. Yeah. It's very silly. Let's see, what else? What else? It's a really short show. That should be noted too, because this is on Adult Swim or Cartoon Network, I guess. And it's 12 and a half minutes. Like, it's like half of your normal half hour show.
So it's bite sized.
Yep. Mm. Yep, you got it. And it's real. Like, sometimes it can be as small as just a 1 to 2 second bit, as long as it doesn't always make sense to me. It's very referential. You kind of have to know what it is that they're doing or what there is that they are parodying most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Parodying. That's hard to say.
Yeah, that's a hard word. All right, I'm going to look up real quick as part of the show. I'm going to look up on Netflix. Is this available on Netflix.com?
I don't think so, but I could be wrong.
Well, let's find out together in real time.
In real time. Those always turn out well, right?
Okay.
By the way, we are on season 5, or rather, season 5 is completed.
Okay, Robot Chicken, not available on Netflix. There is Robotech, The Shadow, and Chronicles the Movie.
And
you can probably find it on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm sure.
To answer your original question, there is a Robot Chicken in the opening credits. Basically, this mad scientist runs over a chicken, or rather, he picks up roadkill and turns it into a half-robot cyborg chicken thing and makes it watch these things that you are watching.
So it's kind of like a Mystery Science Theater 3000 thingy.
Yes, without commentary.
Okay. And sort of like
the Robot Chicken.
And kind of like Frankenweenie.
I'm going to go with yes.
It's Frankenweenie is, spoiler alert,
Tim Burton's thing.
Kid's dog dies. Kid brings him back to life as a Frankenstein type monster.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, that's my pick, Robot Chicken. Go enjoy.
All right. So my pick is the Philadelphia Experiment, and it's not the actual experiment itself, which would be cool to actually recommend the experiment and do a home version. Try it at home. Do a DIY version of the Philadelphia Experiment. No, it's a movie inspired by actual events, and this is not the one that was released in the 1980s. This is one that was on the Sci-Fi Channel last Saturday night. So it's inspired by the actual events that may or may not have happened in 1943 with when an experiment in invisibility, they were trying to make a cloaking device, the U.S. Navy was, back in 1943. And supposedly, the rumor is that the ship disappeared and never came back to its current location. It was found miles away with some of the people that were on board, like, fused with the hull. Like, it actually disappeared, and it teleported, basically. That's what the rumor is. So, in the movie, a secret government research project tries reviving the World War II experiment, which was an attempt to create a cloaking device to render warships invisible. When the experiment succeeds, it brings back the original ship, the Eldridge, that disappeared during the first test in 1943, and brings death and destruction to the 21st century. That's the line from the IMDb article on this. It's up to the sole survivor of the first experiment and his granddaughter to stop it. So one of the major things was this guy was on board the Eldridge from 1943. He traveled to the present, and he was the only surviving member of the crew. He gets out of the ship, goes to town, and just happens to find his granddaughter nearby. So he breaks into her house, finds out where she lives, breaks into her house, and they meet, and she realizes that, oh, this is my grandfather who disappeared in 1943. And I really wish that there would have been more made of him being shocked by all the technology and all the crazy stuff that was going on, because that they only did that for a very short scene when he first walked into town, like all the noise from like the loud cars and the people's stereos and people talking on their cell phones and all this crazy technology coming at him. But it was only like maybe a minute long. I wish they would have dwelled on that a little bit longer, because 1943 and 2012, that's 70 years. A lot changes in that amount of time. So that's the one issue I had with this movie. Another issue was the bad guys didn't seem like they had a solid motivation for trying to shut this experiment down and kill this sailor from World War II from 1943. It seemed like it was a very shallow baddie. You know how sometimes the bad guys, if they don't have a good enough motivation, then it doesn't make for a good movie. This was the case in this movie. So it's okay. I mean, for something on a Saturday night on Sci-Fi, a network who usually does these crazy like shark movies, like Sharktopolis, whatever, they do crazy like animal combination, like killing human movies. I don't know what you call those, B movies. For them to do an actual Sci-Fi movie on Sci-Fi on a Saturday, I'm pretty impressed with. It also stars Malcolm McDowell, so there's that too. So all right.
That's very cool.
That's my recommendation. Philadelphia Experiment. I'm sure that it'll be repeated a few times on Sci-Fi, and you can get it probably in different areas, different places soon. So we have one more pick left, and that is Anessa. Go.
That's me. Yay. I'm actually picking an episode of The X-Files. It is an episode titled War of the Coprophages, and it's actually a season 3 episode, episode 12. And Mulder goes to the small town of Millers Grove, Massachusetts, because he had heard about UFO sightings. And so, knowing Mulder, he likes to go investigate that sort of thing. And while he's there, he finds out about people being attacked by these cockroaches, and starts to go investigate these cockroaches, and he ends up finding half of a cockroach, and he ends up taking it to a lady with the Department of Agriculture that's actually studying cockroaches, and she looks at the cockroach and finds that the cockroach half that he had found appears to be a robotic cockroach, a robotic insect. And so he takes the insect to another expert there in town that deals with robotics. And the guy has no clue where it came from, just that it was well beyond any sort of technology or technological capability that he had. And he was actually talking about the use of robots to explore other planets and not really using humans to go explore planets. And he had a bunch of little robotic insects running around, but, you know, they were small, as in maybe a foot tall, running on wheels. They were kind of cute. And and in the end, they don't really find out if indeed the cockroaches had anything to do with the deaths, aside from the deaths appear to be of natural causes. So, like, one person died of an aneurysm, another one died
they
from...
They didn't explain anything in an X-Files?
I know! They left it wide open, like, no questions answered. Can you believe that? I was totally outraged.
Hey, wait a second. Are you guys being silly? Are you guys being facetious?
Yes.
You're not being serious?
No.
Okay.
I thought my sarcasm would come through on that, but I guess not.
I got it.
You're too good, Anessa. You're too good.
So, but yeah, that's the episode that I recommend, just because of the robotic insects running around. They're adorable.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a good one.
I
liked it. It got me to thinking, really, about, like, I think that was their whole point of the show, really, was to try to establish whether or not, you know, we talk about all these UFO sightings, and it actually makes more logical sense that they would send something non one of themselves, if that makes sense. It makes sense
something
for them to
non-threatening, something that would blend in.
Right. So they would actually want to, like, actually spy on us, like, properly, like spy on us.
Yeah.
That would make more sense than to just, you know, come down here and start a crap.
Which there was a lot of crap at the end of the episode, quite literally.
I remember.
I don't want to know that. I really, and it's all the details I want to know right there. I don't need to know anymore.
So you should watch the episode, Dave.
I will.
We were talking about cockroaches.
It's actually a pretty good episode. I enjoyed it.
I will cover my eyes for the crap at the end. All right, so there you go. I want to go back to my pick for a second. I guess I didn't really explain it good enough. I was thinking about it when Anessa was talking. I'm sorry. My mind is always...
He doesn't even pay attention to
what
I say.
No, I know exactly what you were talking about. But I'm so good that I can listen to somebody and have my own thoughts at the same time. I'm that good. Anyways, you know what? Never mind. I'm not going to explain it anymore. You'll have to watch the Philadelphia Experiment to get the rest of the movie. I'm not gonna say anymore. That's it.
Dave, you can't do that. You can't just break the ebb and flow of the show and then have no payoff.
Okay. The guy from 1943 was tied to the ship. Okay? He had to go back. He had to go back to the ship in order for the ship to go back to 1943. I just spoiled the whole freaking movie for people.
Why did you feel the need to bring that up?
I don't know. I'm an idiot, apparently. I'm a big, big dummy. That's what I am. All right.
That's time traveling robots in space, ladies and gentlemen. This is David Nelson.
So you're gonna talk to me from you're gonna talk as me from now on, Paul? You're not gonna let me talk anymore?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
All right. Hey guys, if you're interested in any of our picks and want to help out the network, easy way to do that, just go to the picks page at galacticnetcast.com. And go through our portal, which takes you to Amazon, and anything that you purchase through our links, we'll get a certain percentage of. And that's a great way to help our network with you helping yourself. So again, go to the picks page at galacticnetcasts.com for the stuff that we've talked about here on the show. All right, before we get out of here, question of the week, and Paul came up with this one. Go ahead and ask it, Paul.
Which Star Trek beverage would you prefer? Romulan Ale, Budweiser Classic, or tea, Earl Grey Hot?
Wow, you really spanned the different versions of Star Trek, because you got Romulan Ale, which was first brought up in the original series, And I believe it was mentioned throughout the movies and throughout the rest of the TV shows. Then you got Budweiser Classic from the 2009 movie.
See, I'm glad you picked up on that. Yes. I thought, all right, yes, very good.
I've watched that movie like 20 sometimes. And then you got Earl Grey tea, Earl Grey hot. That was, of course, Captain Picard's favorite beverage.
So I pose the question, which Star Trek beverage would you prefer? Dave, I would love to know your answer.
Well, in a perfect world, I would have to say Budweiser Classic. But since I don't really drink alcohol anymore, I'm going to go with Earl Grey tea. Because Picard is my hero. I love Captain Picard.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Plus,
I approve.
Okay, plus you sound all fancy when you say it. Tea. Earl Grey. Hot.
You have to say it that way, though. You can't just say Earl Grey tea.
No.
Or you can't say hot Earl Grey tea.
No.
No.
No, it's impossible. You got to say tea, Earl Grey,
Earl Grey, hot.
That's as you were, if you were ordering it from the replicator. Yes, exactly.
Anessa.
My answer is going to be the same as Dave's.
Oh.
Tea, Earl Grey, hot.
I noticed both of you pick the non-alcoholic beverages. Yes, Anessa, go ahead.
Actually, if you had brandy up there, I would have totally chose brandy.
Oh, yeah, no, good point.
You didn't include that one, so that wasn't one of my options.
Was there a certain kind of brandy that was mentioned in the show or in the movies?
I think there was like brandy from Alter, like Alterian brandy, and
yes,
I don't remember
what
else.
That's what it was, Alterian brandy. You got it.
So.
All right.
Or in that one episode with Scotty and the whoever it was, he was trying to get him drunk, and he found that bottle.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a certain color. The guy asked him what it was. He's like, it's blue.
So I would have opted for brandy. But since it's not an option, I will go with tea, Earl Grey hot.
All right,
nice,
you can do that.
So, Paul, that leaves you. What's your answer?
I would have accepted your answer. You know what? Oh, yes, I am still here at Google Plus. Thank you so much. I am going with the Romulan ale because it sounds like a lot of crap started because of Romulan ale. It is the basis for a lot of conflict, and so there, I have to give it props for that. Good on Romulan ale. It's not just anything that can take down a Klingon. It is not just anything. That is my stance on that particular subject.
And I'm guessing that if you drink enough Romulan ale, you will become your very own cloaking device.
Yeah. That's probably true.
You will disappear. Yes.
So yes, that is my answer. Romulan ale.
Great question, Paul. I commend
Thanks.
You.
This is actually, the majority of these are coming from my wife. She's actually really smart about how she comes up with these.
Is she a Trek? is Aaron a Trek fan? Is she a Star Trek fan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, probably not as big as us, but she definitely enjoys the shows.
That's awesome.
And she really loves the movie. Like, that's one of her favorite movies.
The 2009?
2009, yeah.
I can't wait for the sequel next year. I can't wait for the first trailer. They got to release the first trailer very soon. I'm thinking.
Oh, man. I hope so.
Yeah.
It was about now that the year before that they released that little teaser trailer of them putting together the Enterprise.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Cool. So that's going to do it. That's going to do it for a podcast. If you want to subscribe to either the Time Traveling Robots in Space, or we have a mega feed, which is all of our shows in one handy dandy feed, just go to subscribe.galacticnetcasts.com. Subscribe.galacticnetcasts.com. Also, please leave us feedback on iTunes and give us a 5-star rating, because the more feedback we get, the more 5 stars we get, the more subscribers you get. It's like a thing that gets bigger. What's that? A snowball effect?
It is a snowball effect.
Yes. And for the audio participants, Paul is having fun with Google Plus Hangout. What do they call those? Extras or
apps?
Apps. Yes.
No, the Google effects. Everybody has them.
Okay, he's got big eyebrows on him.
Yeah, and a question mark.
And a question mark.
What's Paul thinking? I don't know.
You don't want to know.
All right.
I'm thinking about time travel robots in space. That's what I'm thinking about.
So that's going to do it for episode 41 of the Time Traveling Robots in Space podcast. Final thoughts, guys. Anessa, you first.
Wear sunscreen.
Why?
I got a sunburn this weekend.
Oh. See, you didn't take your own advice. No.
I didn't take my... It's a lesson learned, which normally I don't burn, at least not so quickly.
Wow.
So this is a whole new experience for me.
You must have really been out in the sun for a long time, or it was very intense sun.
It was probably very intense sun. So it is July, or it was July.
Yeah, it's August now.
So it's August now. I'm behind.
All right, Paul, final thoughts, my friend.
Be excellent to each other.
All right. We'll talk to you guys later. Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.